We'll call the meeting of the Plan Commission for the Village of Alloway to order for Monday, August 26, 2013, 6:34 p.m. at the Alloway Village Hall. The roll call. I don't have a roll call. Yes. All right, here we go. Chris Galata, excused. Roger Retzloff, present. Kendra Hansen.
She's excused.
Penny Dart.
Here.
Barb Copperood.
Here.
Howard Rupp.
Here.
Julie Clausen.
Here.
Adam Perillo is no longer.
Excused yet. Yeah, I believe he's still out of the country.
Okay, right. Okay. First item of business is to modify or adopt the agenda. Everybody satisfied with the agenda as it's written? Is there a motion to adopt?
I'll make a motion to adopt it.
Second.
Moved by Copperood and seconded by Dart. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? That passes.
Did Judy move to pass that?
She did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I was
sorry.
Going to second it, but then Penny did.
Okay, sorry.
So it doesn't sound like it very much. Thank you. And be a talk in your mics, too.
Okay, review of the minutes from July 22nd, 2013. Any questions, corrections? If not, is there a motion to adopt the minutes? Moved by Commissioner Dart.
I'll second.
Seconded by Barbara Copperood. Is that the correct spelling?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? And that's approved. Announcements. Tracy.
I just have one announcement from Chris. The chair had asked to get some feedback on your feelings on the field review, the bike ride that we took at our last meeting, if that was good, bad, or different, anything we want to change, or just to get some feel for that from you.
I thought it was great.
Me too.
I thought it was a great way to move ourselves from site to site, too, versus a car, and I'd do it again.
I also thought it was good, especially for a relatively new member, just to kind of get some background, because, you know, we stood around and people talked about mm-hmm. the history behind each of the developments that we looked at, and it's good background for a new person, a newcomer. So I'd for sure want to do it again. Next time I'll ride my bike.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. I think the bike also made it easy to get really a close look at your properties, because otherwise you might just drive up and sit in your car or whatever, but with the bike there, you just go all the way around the buildings and really see what's going on. I think it gave us a good view of what's happening.
I thought there was great discussion, too, because we were all in this relaxed form, standing amongst each other, looking at things. So I thought there was great discussion about specific things we saw and things that if we could change, would change. So I, you know, again, think it was great.
Even as we visited the HME site, and now HME is in that facility, so when they're talking about site, it'll be easier
to visualize,
for you to
yes.
envision it, because we stood right there and we really looked at the whole facility. All right, I will maybe keep that in mind. Maybe we'll try to do that next summer again and go out and maybe do the southern developments. We stayed on the northern end this time, and maybe we'll head south.
I also think it helps support our comprehensive plan. We want it to be more walkable, and we want to be able to ride bikes. So we're getting out there and seeing how that really works for us in the community.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good chance to see where we need sidewalks.
So, other announcements? None. We will move on to the next order of business. Public appearances. Anyone from the citizenry or that has a concern about Alloway? Planning? There being none, we'll move on to item number 6 on the agenda, update of additional improvements to the HME project site. Are there representatives present?
Rich and Eric are here. Okay. And basically, they're going to go through the plans. They come to us to further the development and do a little more work or improvements out there. And a lot of the work that they're talking about was already approved in their phase one construction, and that information is in the memo that I put forth. But I'm going to have them go through everything and explain to you what they're looking at. And there are some changes that weren't in it, but they're better improvements or a good improvement to the site. So take that. All yours. Sure, that'd be great. I just gave them the one page that you sent.
Here are some additional copies. This is our site plan information showing what you probably already have in front of you, just going into a little more detail if it's helpful. The product development and construction representing Riverside Medical Group that we are the owners of that facility. I'm going to turn this so you possibly can see a little bit of what we're talking about here. Okay, originally, when we had came in for the phase one approval process, we had talked about improving the exterior of the building, parking lot area, storm sewer landscaping, sidewalks, entrances up to this point. And as we got into recently, as you know from the bike ride when you're down there, the condition of the asphalt as we started taking it up and the subbase associated with it, as we were looking at it, it just didn't make any sense to be even part of that there and not doing the rest of it. So, as we started getting down this road a little bit, I thought, well, you know what, before we go any further with it, we should check with Tracy and staff and find out what, if anything, we need to do in order to do a little bit more of it. And in conversations with her and her staff, we kind of concluded that it was probably best for us to take it into the phase two design, finish some of what we were planning on doing in phase two now, so that it just improves the situation. So with that said, we had the sidewalk originally stopping at this portion, so now what we would do is we would continue to pour the sidewalk down to this point. We would reconstruct these two aprons, making them concrete as required as part of the first phase approval. And then what we've done, which was not part of our last site plan approval, but we've added a sidewalk, or I'm intending to add a sidewalk along this area. In the gap that was there, we're going to put some landscaping along the building, and then that will allow cars this type of parking versus right now, if you look at it, the doors are right at grade. The asphalt goes right up to the building. So this will give it a little nicer, more commercially appealing feel to it. So what we're looking for tonight is the approval under the condition that we do the things that are required to redo this asphalt. And I know our engineers from Robert Lee have been working with staff to determine what needs to be done from stormwater on that. And at this point, we can do those things as well, but you can help. Along with that, originally, or if you look at the building now, it basically looks like this, if you look from the St. Joseph Street Avenue. There was the intention when we came in on the first phase was to leave it like that, to leave it as is. We've since added some EPIS in over the block area here to try to dress that up a little bit. A couple of windows have gone in where we've filled in some of the doors. again, as you look at that, we felt that it didn't really do much for, so to speak, curb appeal. So what we would like to do is add a couple of indicators here and do away with those overhead doors and put some sort of window concept in here. May not be full length. It might be some block or brick on the bottom of it. But just something that kind of accent this. It would give it a little more breakup. It'll make it a little more appealing with the rest of the building based on the amount of work we do. And I think we have some additional. Yes, on this version we show. We show the potential of moving. The original dumpster location was going to be back here. And when you try to get a truck in, what they were going to need to do was come pull up here, back up here, and then go into the dumpster enclosure. So one of the things I said we could maybe cut into this berm because there's an adjusted height here already, which would allow us to kind of hide it a little bit more, and then we could screen that. Put it over there where they could easily pull in, back out, and go. And if there's a preference one way or the other, we're fine with it. So it was just an option to consider if it made sense from a mobilization concern.
Have you had your refuse service check the turning radiuses?
We have not, but we've had them in there a number of, I mean, not kind of officially, if that makes sense. They've come down to the dumpsters a lot and kind of know how it is just watching them over. I mean, they could definitely do this here if we left it. It'd just be a little more moving around. And if it's better and more suitable for you by the building, that's fine. Otherwise, everything seems to be going real well and coming together nicely. We've finished quite a bit of the heat descending here already. There's been some things that we've done in addition to what were more elaborate than what we had initially planned on, just because when we kind of get into a building in that condition, we find out more that the leaders are built for, but it should be very nice in this time.
Well, I think the additions that you put on with the green space up to the building is very nice. And it'd be nice to see that whole parking lot done because it was in very rough shape. And the side where you have the delivery pad.
When
you
say the whole parking lot, too, we'd be leaving for now. We're going to have some maintenance in there that we're going to have.
Isn't that a hill, though? I mean, it's not flat.
It's kind of two-tiered, a little bit.
Yeah. But this part was in really bad shape. And even around the building where they have that cement pad, it was pretty beat up back there.
Yeah, it just makes sense. So I think we just, you know, we've had a lot of interest in tenant spaces here. One of the things we wanted to do was we had somebody who was looking at it that maybe wasn't the most suitable tenant and we kind of let that go. But now we just thought we might as well invite both, get that cost associated with it then now and clean it up. It'll help us in the long run as well.
Do you need both driveways? Both, that is.
Both of these?
Yeah.
Well, this driveway really acts nicely for the customer parking, and this driveway acts nicely for the truck delivery. When we talked about that last time we were here, we actually had two driveways that we filled in over here and then relocated in the center. So it does from a mobilization, and I think staff looked at that as well when we were trying to determine it. Because if we get rid of this one, we're really adding a lot of parking stress to that.
So net zero in entrances there, the net is zero. It's a change, right? There was three and there will be three.
There were four. There was four.
And now there will be three.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's fine. As long as you've got two driveways for customers and one driveway for service.
Right. This will mainly be for vans and the service.
Okay. And are you using wheel stops in the for the parking up against that sidewalk, or against the building.
Against the building, no. What we're going to do is we're going to, because that grade is so flat, we think that we can cut this down enough that we can get some sort of curb stop on the sidewalk.
All right. So is the sidewalk wide enough so that if a car is overhanging the sidewalk, when the wheels are stopped at the curb, that you can still pass by?
Yeah, the exact scale on here. Eric, do we know what the dimension of that is? It's about 6 feet?
Yeah, I think it's at least a 5 foot.
5 to 6 foot. So somebody can get around it.
Okay.
So we
just,
don't have enough
just a consideration
based on the overall parking, but we'll try to make it as much as we can.
Would somebody wheelchair-bound ever need to be using that part of the sidewalk?
Well, the sidewalk itself would be wheelchair-accessible, and then we located a ramp, handicap-accessible ramp at this location onto it, and then one at this one, too, where the two hash marks are. So they'll need to be able to get through there, which typically would require them to have just under 4 feet.
Oh, that's it. Oh, okay.
Will the parking lot lighting change at all in phase two?
The only thing that would change is, again, we'll probably look at the number of poles that are there, and we already talked about potentially pulling a few more of them out. When we had the phase one review, we did pull some of them out along the front, so we probably, again, would finish that up. So that we
the detail on the dumpster enclosure is showing a block for the lower portion of it. Would that be split face on that retaining wall?
Well, if we did it, depending upon the location, we probably would do some sort of landscape block because it needs to tie back into that slope behind that, or the option would be tied to it. And that way we could just put it down a little bit, build it on type of a foundation and pour it in. Because it wouldn't be visible, concrete would be a little more heavy duty and a little more longevity to it than going into the box. So it could be either way, it just would have to be tied back in. What would be beyond that though, it's anything thing above it would be doing.
Decorative look. Okay.
Here just recently, you were planning on continuing that same deep as that kind of sand color that you had in the front.
The color tone?
The color tone would be the same along the...
Yeah, and we're, you know, something of that scope, but yeah, along the line, it would be...
Excellent.
Yeah. Are you looking just at the whole back portion where those vehicles would travel, or just by the dumpster enclosure itself?
I guess both. If you're really going to have vehicles through here, just so the parking lot does fold up, there's not grease and
We would do at least 3 to 4 inches of asphalt there, but one of the things we are in need of doing throughout this whole thing is adding more sub-base to it as well. As that came up, one of the reasons that there was so much cracking is that it was limited as far as the subjects underneath the initial asphalt. So that's one thing that we can do built up a little bit.
So is it something that I can have an engineer for the
thickness of the asphalt?
Yes, just to make sure that it will hold up, especially with the dumpsters sitting there and the garbage trucks coming in and out. Do you
want to
know how much
subbase you're planning for? Yeah, I would have to go back and take a look at it from an engineering perspective. But there's already some there, so I would have to determine what we're adding to that there.
There's a detail on that on page 7.
Yeah, now again, some of that 12 inches is maybe made of some of the material that was already there. But again, it varied from nothing to maybe 4 or 5 inches in some spot. So we just kind of cleaned it up. Although that factory, we haven't done anything until we determined whether that was okay to do it. So that, this section behind the building here is just left for right now.
Are you talking about the blue cabinet?
It's, you know, it's on the original. That would be the site plan.
Yeah, I don't think
you
brought it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, could you read the plan better than me?
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Original one. You guys got to get that. I guess as far as planning commission, when we had met with Fred in regards to the project and what they were planning to go ahead with and add on to it, we felt that it did not have to go all the way back to site plan review because a lot of the things that they were going to do were part of like the phase two in the original approval. Obviously, there's some change to the north side with the addition of the sidewalk, which we felt was an enhancement to the site. But everything else was that they're proposing was in the original approval. So we felt tonight it was more of an informational type back to you. If you have any issues or concerns with that, that's fine. Then we can, or if you have things that you would like to address with it, we can certainly do that. But we just felt that because there weren't any major changes above and beyond what the original approval was, that we could just allow them to go ahead with at least an informational presentation this evening. We've never had anything like this occur before, so we can really look at it and look at what that looks like. Maybe this is, you know, the most appropriate way to go forward.
Okay. So we do not need to take any formal action on this?
You do not. I mean, it's an update and it's informational. Unless there's anything that you would like to add to recommendation that's different than what we discussed.
No, I think there are two points that we'd like the developer to check on, and that's just making sure sidewalk clearances are adequate for people passing by, and you know, the pavement concerns with respect to the trash removal. I'm glad Tracy mentioned that. We did see some serious damage right at trash enclosures from the garbage trucks. And it occurs over several years, but the asphalt does get torn up, and it almost seems as if a concrete pad extending out from them would be more appropriate.
Yeah, we are showing a pad from, if you look at where the gate position is, we would pour a pad out approximately 10 feet in front of the gate where the actual dumpster pad is,
okay,
which helps on that too, but no matter where you go, you're going to have some transition point. But for the most part, yeah, we would want that to be built up as well.
Okay. So, thank you for your presentation. The next item 7, approval of site plan review process with the addition of TND Concepts. I believe we have Aaron Schutte from Brown County Planning.
Good evening. As Roger mentioned, it is Aaron Schutte. I'm with the Brown County Planning Commission. Over the last, probably 6 months or so, we're working with you on developing a revised site plan design review ordinance that takes into account some of the traditional neighborhood development design concepts that you've been looking for. The draft that you have before you is, I think, the last meeting we talked about how it's really, well, it's your base model Chevy. Any bells and whistles that you want to add onto it are certainly your right to go ahead and do that. I think it's incumbent upon you as the Planning Commission to take a look at it and decide, you know, is this, you know, this item what we want or isn't it? This does not have any kind of magic spell to it. It's not the be-all, end-all. It's a base for you to work from. And Trevor had sent me a couple bullet points, some questions that a planning commissioner had on the sample or on the model. And I found that Trevor, as I said, you know, those are great points. And those are all issues that are specific to Alloway that can certainly be changed in the ordinance. So I really don't have anything, I guess, new to present to you. What you have is the base. If it works for you, fantastic. If you want to tweak it a little bit, you certainly can. Because again, I don't live here. I live in Howard, which isn't that far away, but I don't live in Alloway. You do. You take a certain interest in how Alloway looks. So I guess with that, I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have on the ordinance. But really, it's at the point now where I really hand it off to you to say, do with it as you like.
Can you just go through the ordinance and just summarize how the changes you make reflect TND Concepts?
Sure. A couple of things that we discussed. One of our first meetings, we went through the slide presentation of an idea of what exactly is the village looking for. And a couple of things I did, I took a look at your existing zoning ordinance as well and tried to tie this in with your current zoning ordinance. And a couple of the, the highlights, I guess I'd call them, would be, first of all, trying to streamline the process. And this doesn't necessarily deal with TND specifically, but it does deal with process. When it comes to design review, as I've mentioned many times, time is money for development. So we try to streamline the process to make it much more clear in the front end what is expected of a developer when he or she comes to Alloway, what they design or what they propose to use that meets the current zoning ordinance for the village, but they need to meet the site plan design review ordinance requirements as well. This does spell out much more specifically what is expected so that you avoid the situation where you start negotiating on the floor, whether at planning commission or at the village board level. That way, it either meets the ordinance or it doesn't. It's very clear to the developer what's expected in the front end. So before they expend the dollars in the design, they can look at the ordinance and say, yeah, we can meet this within our budget. We're going to bring forth something that is what Alloway is expecting. As far as specifics dealing with T&D, we talked about was talking about Suki parking lot being located to the side or to the rear of the building. Okay. Now, where you have situations, for instance, home medical equipment, we have an existing building, and you're repurposing it for a different use, the parking lot's already there. We're not going to say, no, you have to move the building forward 20 feet up to the street, especially along Riverside Drive. That's just not an appropriate location for that. But we have new buildings, infill locations, such as the old Village Hall property. That would be a location you want to put the parking lot to the side or to the rear because you want to create that sense of street walkability in, along Webster Avenue. Talk about, you know, lighting, address that. Talk about gas station canopies. Now, one of the things that I think we've heard from many communities is the last thing we want to see are these big steel gas station canopies out front with a flat top and just plain steel look. Well, can we address that by saying maybe it's some sort of architectural detail associated with the canopy, hip, entire roof, things of that nature. Screen mechanical equipment from view as much as possible. Orient your principal structures to the street. We've seen a lot of communities, especially with multifamily buildings, they try to pigeonhole as many multifamilies as possible on a specific site, but there's then no orientation to the street. So as you're walking on the street, you might see a side of a building or a corner of a building. So again, there's no orientation to the street, again, creating that streetscape that you want to see and feel as you walk down the street. Loading docks, looking at those, trying to get those in the rear, to the side whenever possible. Now, one thing I want to stress with these standards, with this ordinance, is that there's flexibility built in here. If there is a situation specific to a lot, specific to a particular building, where the proposed, or where the site plan design review ordinance doesn't fit exactly, there's the ability to issue a variance for specific issues. But what I want to stress is that it's important if you issue a variance for that, that it is specified in the minutes exactly why a variance is required in this instance. For instance, another community is working in, their site plan design review ordinance required loading docks to be to the side or to the rear. But with this specific manufacturer, with their manufacturing processes, the loading and the receiving didn't work out that way. So we entered that in the minutes saying this is the reason why this specific instance, it didn't meet the requirements of the code, but we should have variance for that specific issue. So again, these are issues specific to the site, specific to the building or to the use to issue a variance.
Or they would have the right to go with a PDD?
Correct. Okay. Yeah, exactly. I do want to address the PDD as well. I did take out where if a site is going through the PDD process, it would also need site plan design review, because that would be redundant. Your PDD process is extremely thorough, and I think your site planning is certainly incorporated into the PDD process. So having the PDD process then also site plan review right after that is just duplicative and just wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. Preliminary consultation in your previous ordinance, that's a optional process. As a staffer who's worked in a lot of communities, the preliminary consultation is priceless when it comes to, again, efficiency for both the community and for the developer. There's an expectation that on the front end said, here are certain issues that we need to address with this proposal. Saves time, saves money. The preliminary consultation is so vital to the process. That's why I put that as a required element. There was a question that Trevor forwarded me about the number of plans that are reported to the village. Certainly it's up to the village to determine how many copies of the site plan you'd like to have. Like a year might say 5, 7, 10, you know, whatever it is. It's up to you. I want to make sure that's clear again, that this is your ordinance. And it's up to you to take a look at it and say what fits, what works for the plan commission, for village staff, as well as the village board. The ordinance really in a nutshell, without going through the ordinance page by page, I don't think anyone's interested in doing tonight.
I have a question around
applicability.
Mm-hmm. there's a section about, it says A residential district accepts single family dwellings, B residential district accepts two family dwellings. When we had done the changes on that, we had just voted that through a few months ago. We changed that to E residential building projects that required a conditional use permit, is how we address that. And my question to you is, and the board, is it better to be written in the manner that you have recommended versus what we just changed it to? If one's clearer or better than the other one?
I guess I'm not familiar with what you have in your conditional uses in that district. And I guess I would probably throw it to the Planning Commission to say, you know, that's one of those issues that you should really discuss and figure out how you want to handle that specific issue.
You know, conditional uses would be mainly the church is located and there are some of the public facilities. Because we ran into that with some of the church projects, and it's like, well, it's not even listed in here that they have to go through site plan review. So that was the verbiage you put in to kind of grab those groups and or those type of facilities. So I don't know if we want to leave it that way or if we want to change it to the verbiage that's in here. I think either way catches it. And I don't know if you guys have a preference.
What page is it on, Tracy,
no,
that year?
It's right,
the second page.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think the conditional, this simply exempts the dominant permitted use in the district. So, yeah, I don't think it's a problem. I think it's clear for if someone is concerned about having to do something with their house, you can see that.
So then it really catches all
the
other uses within A or B that aren't single family or two family dwellings. So then you'd be catching that one.
Yeah. Most houses, homes, and duplexes wouldn't be subject to conditional use applications. So. Right, and now do those, some of those things require building permits?
Yes.
You know, that's kind of a slippery slope. I would like to qualify that perhaps by saying permitted uses. Compare a permitted uses or of existing, of existing structures which are permitted uses in the applicable zoning districts. You can think of an example in the Broadway district downtown where an owner was allowed, Green Bay doesn't require a permit for window replacement, so this commercial property used that as license to reclad the entire facade, which does require a building permit, and so now there's a big argument. I would like to find a, make sure we avoid that kind of thing in this this section. So.
I guess from my standpoint, what I'd probably do is leave with you, and you guys can work on it, continue to work on it, take action on it. I guess it's up to you. Thank you for the opportunity to work with you. It's been fun as always. And I'm sure we'll work with you in the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I did have some comments and suggestions for changes. I don't know if that's something that we want to take a look at or if we're ready to listen to anything right now.
No, I think we can proceed to discuss this at this meeting.
On what would be page 5, under the 7 general building and site plan performance standards, there was the question whether we would want trellises within a parking lot area.
Okay.
I would suggest we remove that. I can't think of any commercial locations that have that in the village.
Well, you know what happens to trellises when you put them in your backyard, and you're maintaining your backyard on a regular basis. I don't know why anybody would want to put a trellis in a parking lot.
Plus, it could cause some vision concerns, too, if it's blocking vision.
I do think parking lots need to be generally upgraded in their appearance from this point on, or when we are able to make that point at some kind of maintenance repair or something. But, you know, we've discussed the parking lot in front of that little strip mall there in Webster and how horrible that looks. And just a few trees in there would make a big difference, but I can't see putting trellises in parking lots. Usually the people that are in the individual buildings aren't owning the property, so...
They would be, probably wouldn't be durable enough to withstand snow plow activity in the parking lot, depending on where they'd be located.
Well, that would be the obligation of the owner and their agents to design them appropriately.
Concrete trellises.
Durable.
I saw a concrete trellis in Zurich, Switzerland.
I bet you there is, yeah, you know.
At a residence.
Yeah. They build them to last. If you left that in there, though, it could be subject to the materials used, couldn't it? I mean, we still don't have... We wouldn't necessarily approve a trellis presented to us if the structure of it was not going to hold up. Just like the asphalt at the trash spot.
Right. And these are guys... The section is called Site Plan Performance Standards, but in the introductory paragraph, it really indicates that these are guidelines. So, none of them are hard and fast. As easily put in coverings for pedestrian walkways, you know. So, and I think the idea is to break up the expanses of the parking lot and provide safe pedestrian access. So, as long as we're cognizant of those goals in review.
B is maybe more of a suggestion, you know, written as more a suggestion than here's things you can do if we approve it. That's how you would take that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then on the next page, on 6, Bert does ask if we want to allow other building materials.
And an example of that would be the HME project that came in tonight that is using the EFIS wall system. So we could add that if we'd like to see that as an improvement. And then possibly wood. I don't think that there was a question whether we would want vinyl siding. I don't think that's a good idea on a commercial building that just isn't durable enough. But wood stucco or the EFIS could be added.
Basically, it's brick, stone, glass, you know, and curtain walls. Fiber cement siding is, you know, is certainly available. Split face concrete masonry, yeah, that's. Those are all pretty standard products. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I should probably say curtain walls and storefronts. Since most commercial establishments would default to the storefront anyways. So.
I had a comment on the next section B, their light industrial and highway business uses district. The second italic there where they talk about requiring a minimum 10-year life expectancy. Is it reasonable to expect that, or should it be reasonable to expect more than 10 years? And I'm thinking of facades that haven't been maintained and have been there more than 10 years. I mean, how do we, you know, should we make it longer, or should we rely on the village to inspect it afterwards? And how do we pick the right number of years? Or is 10 reasonable?
Coating is basically paint.
Yeah.
So, that means.
You're not going to find it to last much more than 10 years.
Right.
Following page, letter B, approval, construction, and expiration. Point two, they talk about if construction is not completed within 24 months of approval, the site plan approval expires unless otherwise agreed to in writing between the village and the applicant. Is that otherwise agreed to in writing activity take place up front or after the as the two-year period approaches? I mean, you could write it into everything, and then they've got a way out. to put it, you know, there's no kind of.
What I would say with that is we might want to put the same verbiage that we have in our PDD. So what happens with the PDD across the street when they ask for an extension?
Yeah.
I notified them probably 6 months and then along before their actually was left, we left to really notify them that their date was coming up for their PDD to expire, and then they had a certain amount of time they had to get back. And then I go for the village board, so I talk to them about it. The village board at that point could say, yeah, we'll allow you the extension, or they could have said, we're going to put it out so many months, and then we're going to kind of come back and see where you're at on it. So maybe we want to do the same verbiage.
That's kind of what I was wondering. So there's some initial leverage,
right,
or some initial incentive to actually carry through with the project.
Yes.
As approved initially.
Yeah, so we could certainly add that same verbiage in from PDD into here, and that would take care of your comments on that.
Do you use a developer's agreement where this could be written in as the process to extend it?
We, for the extension here, we did use an agreement, and they had to escrow some money and all that, so that was part of the not full-blown developer's agreement, but it was an agreement.
So you typically don't have a developer agreement like for each project?
We
then?
Have not.
Okay.
Although we used one similar, or again, not a full-blown one, but we did for the gas station. We required an escrow and some other things for that development as well, and then we did the same over here. So we've been kind of moving that way, but they haven't been used regularly in the past.
We could look at including that as a letter of credit requirement as
yes.
part of this ordinance?
Yes, yes.
Would that simplify things then if it was actually in an ordinance?
Yeah. I don't think it was spelled out in the PDD ordinance, but we did require a letter of credit, and that was part of our negotiation, I guess, with the developer to allow that 2-year extension.
So do you prefer to have that be on a case-by-case then rather than have that be a requirement for all projects just to ensure completion?
I would say leave it as a case-by-case, but that's something that just to make sure the projects are completed.
And a suggestion on, I guess it would be page 8 under lighting standards, that would be the following page, on the under A, where we ask that the lights would be shaded, diffused, or arranged to reflect light away, if we would use the terminology full cutoff light fixtures or dark sky compliant light fixtures.
Mm-hmm.
And then we discussed it when we were filling out developing the checklist for site plan review applicants. Under D, that we would ask for a photometric lighting plan to be submitted and take off the lumen distribution. That's what the photometric lighting plan would show. And we don't have a minimum lighting level specified in the ordinance that I found, but I would recommend a 0.5-foot candle minimum in all areas intended to be lit for safety and convenience. I had worked with a lighting engineer in the past, and that was what he felt was the minimum safe level.
There are state requirements regarding lighting levels, site lighting levels. You're required to submit lighting. Site lighting plan and interior lighting actually for review. It's part of the energy review. So whatever we do should be consistent with state requirements. That way. I agree with the idea of requiring dark skies fixtures.
Is that what dark skies?
Dark sky compliant or yeah. full cutoff light
full
fixtures?
Cutoffs.
I don't know if we have a problem with businesses leaving outside parking lot lighting on all night, but if we would want to put a provision that the lighting needs to be reduced at a certain point or completely turned off. I don't know if it's been a problem.
It has been. We have an address in the ordinance this summer that came up for development, but I don't think it's specifically in here. So there is a requirement either when the business is closed or at a certain time of night that the lights need to go off. And the signage too. We'll look that up and see if it's somewhere else that it covers it. If that doesn't work, then thank you.
Just jumping ahead to the next section on landscaping. under item C, number 2, it says plans to mow, and it asks for 10 copies. And earlier in the site plan review process, we're asking for 15 copies of the site plan. Is that
we'll
is it okay?
We'll
do we not need a full 15 for the landscaping plan?
No, I'm concerned with defining all of this in, you know, in a code section rather than referring to administrative procedures. I mean, if in a couple of years we decide to go to electronic submittal, that completely changes this. So I think we should just, refer to a separate fee schedule for permitting fees, application fees, and I would say that for all of the required documentation, we should have separate administrative requirements that are not codified,
yeah,
but
we
suit.
Put all those documents together so we can use, say, as specified on such and such an application form or whatever. So that's a good idea.
Under landscaping, we might want to look at tying in a number of trees, a tree requirement to the number of parking stalls. It's just for the dwelling units right now. It's something like one tree for every 8 or every 10 parking stalls, just to help reduce the heat, urban heat islands in the parking lot. And maybe street tree. I don't think street trees are addressed in here at all. I know with the HME, that just went to Brad Lang, and he required it, but to say that they're required either at a certain interval at 50 or 60-foot centers or to be coordinated with the village forester, just so they're aware that they will need street trees. I'm assuming that's what the village would like to see in the future.
Do we also have landscape requirements in the zoning code? That's where street trees are often defined.
Yeah. So. It probably isn't here, but I probably cannot put it there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be something that we need to check and coordinate.
Yes. So.
Well, if somebody's tree would die, you'd be able to send them a letter saying they're now out of compliance with their approved site plan. Give them 60 days to comply, and if they don't, you'd have the ability to issue citations for that, right?
Yeah.
Tracy was, I'm not as familiar with your zoning ordinances as I probably should be, but at the same time, I think it's important that you take a look at your zoning ordinance. And I'm assuming at this point it's probably standard, strict separation of uses. So what you'll need to do is take a look at those districts as they stand right now and incorporate appropriate mixed uses. Take a look at your residential district, take a look at your commercial districts. And for instance, commercial district, encourage second floor residential. And residential districts, encourage commercial uses of the conditional use permit, you know, maybe 20,000 square feet smaller, 10,000 square feet smaller, whatever you feel is appropriate to start developing and encouraging that mixed use process. So, you know, this ordinance itself won't have this create this mixed use. And what it will do is it'll create the look that you're looking for, but in terms of uses, that has to come from your zoning ordinance. So I guess from a zoning standpoint, take a look at, like I said, second floor residential, your commercial uses, small-scale neighborhood-type commercial uses in your residential districts, institutional uses in residential areas. So again, encourage those as mixed uses, but take a look at it probably as conditional uses, short-term, just so you don't get something completely out of character of residential areas. But second floor residential above commercial, I put that as a permitted use right in your commercial district. I think it's something that can go a long way towards helping create that mixed use deal.
Yeah, we are aware that our zoning ordinance needs to be updated in this way. I think, you know, we're doing the comprehensive plan at this point, so that would be one of the things we're looking at is whether we should get a consultant to go over our, or at least recommend it to the board, hiring a consultant to review the zoning ordinance.
So really, just to make it clear that this ordinance in itself does not necessarily allow, or doesn't at all allow mixed use. The zoning code would have to be revised.
Right.
But then if they would do a PDD though, Aaron, then that could allow for mixed use, correct?
Yes.
So if it was a PDD process, that would allow, but site plan that doesn't until the zoning code would be adapted to allow that.
And I think that's appropriate that it...
Yeah.
I shouldn't overstep.
Chris wasn't sure, and I didn't know if you guys understood that as well. So I don't think I'll send the site plan review. You can just go ahead and allow a mixed use because the changes in here will allow some adaptability, but won't go that far.
Okay. That way we'll have a little more control over it too and offer them some flexibility, some give and take.
Thank you very much for your work. Are there any other comments? Do we want to review comments that we have on this? I was thinking that would allow those who aren't present to take another look at it. So.
And then hopefully at the next meeting we can do it and spend half a day before.
Right. So. Okay. Could we get this out a few weeks before the next meeting?
We'll try to get it done earlier and then get it out to you so you can look at it ahead of time and get back the comments before it comes to the full committee again.
Okay. So we don't need to make a motion on this one tonight?
Okay, so if you can share your comment on it, I feel like we got it all, and you can listen back to the tape, too.
Okay.
And then bring that forth and change it in the ordinance itself.
Okay, good. Moving on to item 8.
I would have a request that maybe we can move 8 or 9 off ahead of 8 so that this gentleman...
Oh.
Can't leave.
Okay.
Did they find this boring?
No. I did say it, but they probably don't want us to do it.
Okay.
This won't take too long, so if you don't mind, just let you know.
All right. We'll move. Well, let's. We have a request to move item 9 up in place of item 8. Is there a motion to that effect?
I'll move to move. Move that up.
Moved by Trustee Dart.
I'll second.
Seconded by Howard. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? We'll move ahead with item 9.
I I need an update also at Village Board, but I wanted to bring it to the Plan Commission as well, because obviously when redevelopment occurs at that site or whatever happens to the site, will come through Plan Commission. So I just want to update you on it. Your memo goes into this. The investigation on the cause of the fire was done on Monday, August 12th. The fire inspector, Joe Gabe, was in attendance at the final inspection, and he also was involved in determining what the final cause was of the fire. The state fire marshal will be putting out a report in about a month, so we will hear in about a month that they've determined the cause and what actually started the fire at the apartments. So at this time, the investigation is complete. They will not be holding that building up at any point to do any further investigation on it. So it can be removed. And the owner, as well as the insurance company, is out to bid right now and looking for contractors to do the demolition of the building. Talking to Peggy from Hillcrest, who's a primary contact at Hillcrest, she said it would be between 2 and 4 weeks before they would start the demolition of the building. As you know, and as Village Board knows, there has been a lot of interest in the site, both from the residents that live in the area and what's going to happen there, what's going to be rebuilt, what the site's going to look like, or if anything would be rebuilt. We've received calls from residents wanting it to remain, or not remain, to become a park and have no development on that site. I've also received calls from developers looking to redevelop the site and build it again as an apartment complex. So we've got both. The Village Board has not had any proposals come back to them, any formal proposals, so they have not done anything at this point with the site as far as redevelopment. And again, the site is owned by a private individual. It is not owned by the Village of Alloway. The other thing, just for your information, just to let you know what the land is valued at, the property is valued at $2.4 million, which equates to about $246 for the land, and then the improvements themselves are just over $2 million. Taxes on that property, about $46,000 annually for taxes on the property. Of that, the village receives about $13,855. So just to let you know, that's what the property does bring in or has brought in. As far as taxes, one of the concerns that came out was, will this affect our taxes this fall? It will not. Basically, in January of 2013 is when they look at the site, and that's the value that's placed at that time. So at that time, obviously, there was a full building at the property, so the taxes will not be impacted this year. Now, when he goes out in January of 2014, and there potentially will be nothing sitting at the site at that time, then it will impact the taxes in the fall of next year. So it would be based on the land alone, so the taxes on that property will be much less. And then as redevelopment occurs or whatever happens with the property, then again taxes will be assessed, and we may be looking at a value similar to what it was in January of this year. So that's the update. I don't know if anybody has any questions on it. I haven't heard anything else in regard to the property, but really what is on, no other updates since I put this together.
What is the property zoned for?
The property is B residential.
And so that can...
No, I'm sorry, it's high density district.
High-density residential.
Yes. Okay.
And is there a limit on dwelling units per acre in high-density residential?
I'd have to look at the ordinance. I don't know off the top of my head. I'm sure there's something in there.
Okay.
Any other questions? Otherwise, as I said, I'm sure we'll be back at some point in time, and we'll be coming back through Plan Commission, depending on what the development is. If it is redeveloped, it would go through the PDD process, and that would come to you at least twice through the process. So.
If we were to consider rezoning the property to perhaps expand potential uses there, could we have some assessment of what might lead us to make good decisions, being that we don't have a restructured zoning ordinance yet, and we haven't gotten we're working on our comprehensive plan, but we'd like to...
Yeah, you mean you're talking about the assessor giving us some idea on a value for redevelopment?
No, I'm mostly concerned about, you know, what are the possibilities for this piece of property being zoned high-density residential? What are the conditions? I mean, we can all look in the zoning ordinance and see that, but maybe it's just something we should discuss for a large parcel so we all have a consistent understanding about what, you know, how it fits into the fabric of our comprehensive plan, what we should be looking for in the future.
That's a great idea. I mean, we can certainly, you know, put on a future agenda and look at it and see what's out there and what high density is right now, what it's described at. And, you know, if you go through the PDD, then, you know, the zoning can be adjusted that way too. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 9. Review of chapters 6 through 7 of the comprehensive plan. And, Tracy and Trevor, do you have any comments you want to make? I believe staff has reviewed this and made a number of edits. Are there any points we should pay particular attention to from your perspective?
Really, what they did was they just updated it. They were making a real big change. Brad updated some of the park changes, issues, and so nothing was real for that.
Okay.
I see our emergency services is blank. Who's going to update that? Oh, it's not blank under there. It says update. Must have looked at this one. Oh, it's looking at consolidation, so maybe it just needs to be updated. Fire services. Maybe I'm way ahead. Maybe I'm in chapter 7.
Okay. It's in chapter 6.
It's in chapter 6.
Yeah. And it doesn't mention the joint.
No, it says
joint fire and rescue service
that we're looking at it.
Yeah. The village is looking at consolidation. Yeah. So that
needs to be updated. And there's a comment there that says update, but I'm just wondering who the updater is.
On the first page of chapter 6, it says, you know, that the fire department was changed to Joint Fire and Rescue Service
right.
with Green Bay. So.
Yeah, that wasn't updated here, so we'll update that.
So I think everybody's looking at that page a little before that under elderly care. It lists the elderly care facilities. Is the one across the street here, is that considered an elderly care facility that could be added? Then on the next page under libraries, it says that the DePere Library will soon be replaced. It's a newer, larger facility.
Public Works had a lot of change in this document, didn't they?
Yeah. send us some of his comments to the next section of school. He suggested that I send it to him.
Can you talk a little louder, Trevor?
Chris mentioned in the next section, going ahead and changing the numbers for enrollment and everything. So I'll go ahead and look at those.
Do we have to include them?
You know, it changes so much.
That's what I'm thinking, right. Because being at a school, associated with a school myself, it's like, you know, we were at 265 and 1 year we're at 210. And
I mean, it's not that important. It's just saying these are the schools that are here more than this is the numbers, you know.
Right. I think that all we really need to know is that, you know, whether the district envisions needs for schools or sees an overage in this area for schools. So, and if they don't, if the enrollment numbers tell us that the current schools are serving the population adequately, that's basically what we need to know.
There's the section policies and programs, and then it talks about the sanitary sewer service and the water supply. The sanitary sewers are referred to as aging, and the water mains are referred to as existing old. If we had it aging also, it wouldn't give that bad feeling of old. I'd rather think aged water lines rather than old.
Yeah,
we drink that water.
That's why the water has that peculiar
aged taste.
It's like wine.
So that's what that was.
And despite the fact that we have water treatment, my wife still has a pure filter on our tap.
You want that to change?
Or to replace and repair aged water mains?
Just consistent
verbiage.
Yeah.
Right.
Consistent text. So.
I must say it wasn't pleasant reading about the rivers. It's kind of a sad thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Doesn't make you want to put your foot in the water.
No. But, you know, they're so much better than they were years ago. Yeah. So we're going in the right direction, but still it is sad.
Kind of hard to drink the water after you just read what's all the possibility of things that are in there. I'm amazed we're allowed to drink it.
Under stormwater management, at the end of that sentence, TMDL, can we just write out what that is so people don't have to look it up?
Tracy, that other document that I know Aaron Schutte was part of, that water, should that be mentioned in here in any place? Does that fit somewhere in the comprehensive plan anywhere? That
It's more of a riverfront than development along the riverfront.
Yeah.
So I wonder, I think we didn't put it in economic development chapter.
Maybe we did. We discussed it there, and that it should show up somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we have it. I'll double check, but make sure we put it there because you were looking for it, and it was actually in the room.
Oh, okay. Right where we were sitting.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone moved a bunch of times in there.
Is there a published park plan?
Yes.
That is.
Yes.
And is it consistent with our comprehensive plan?
It's always the question.
So.
No, it's more detailed, obviously, than our comp plan.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the general. It's a lot of the information that was put in here and updated. I'm sure Brad pulled from the comp plan.
I'm sure Brad's the person that would be involved in both of the areas, so I'm sure that he's consistent.
Well, under telecommunications and power generation, the village, the second point, should do the best that it can to ensure that adequate easements or other necessary rights of way are available. That's kind of one-sided on the utility side. Doesn't really say much about accommodating property owners, private citizens. Perhaps we could neutralize that a little bit by saying that we should assess the needs of property owners.
They have very few rings up this year. They got one.
Okay.
So they just weren't able to, so the weather was so bad this year to do a ring. So.
But it's okay to leave that statement in there. Right? It's not like it.
Weather permitting.
Weather permitting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'll double check with Brad, but.
No, it's no big deal.
Weather permitting allow it. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just curious. From an environment where ice skating rinks are everywhere. In fact, there was a requirement in the city of Minneapolis, you had to be no further than 6 blocks away from a skating rink.
Oh, really?
Where was that?
Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
South Minneapolis. That was their goal. I don't know if they achieved it, but there were a lot of, you know, it's hockey.
Broom ball, huge too, right?
Yeah, broom ball, yeah.
Under emergency services, the village should maintain its current standard of fire protection, etc. I think that needs to be coordinated with the joint fire and rescue service. This specifically relates to development of the facilities. I think we could just say the village should participate in the joint fire and rescue service in planning for the use, remodeling, or expansion of existing facilities.
Regard to libraries, is there any way we can put something in there about little libraries?
They put one at the CP Center.
Do they?
Yeah,
I want to have one built for my girlfriend for her birthday. Yes. I want to make sure we're zoned properly. But they put one at the CP Center.
Yeah, it's inside the building.
Oh, it's inside the building.
I just noticed in their newsletter they had talked about it, so I imagine I'm supposed to get it.
There's one on Ducharme just north of Lazare.
Is everybody familiar with those?
No.
But they're cute little, they're like put a little library in front of your houses.
Bird houses.
Yeah.
Oh,
books.
I just saw that for the first time. And you
take a book out, and it's just like a little library that, you know, they're in Milwaukee. My daughter has one right by our house.
So
I just think we should encourage those. They're really a neighborhood-friendly kind of thing.
Yeah.
It gives you a goal to walk somewhere with a book and trade a book. Mm-hmm. I don't know how we can encourage that, but...
That might be appropriate in our housing section or something like that.
I just thought of it because our libraries...
Is it working well, then, at Lazare and Ducharme?
Well, it looks nice.
There's not vandalism or people aren't, like, you know, cleaning the thing out or...
No.
Okay.
No.
Cool. Well, like I said, I saw one for the very first time in Verona.
Well, just take a book down to the street and exchange it and see how you like it.
If there's a book in there I like.
That's right. Right. That's right. But it might encourage you to read something you don't like.
Probably not. But actually, I'd be happy to just add some books.
That's right. I just think that's such a good idea.
It is.
I would like to see some way of encouraging it.
You need to find the home hobbyist who likes to build things.
That's why I have my brother on the project now.
Okay. Perfect.
You can get them online, but they're really expensive, like $700, $800. So. They're pretty fancy, though.
Well, this one was just like a little barn.
Maybe you should build one and put it out.
And it was just cute.
There you go. Design one.
A little coffee shop we walked up to, you know.
One thing on solid... Change the subject a little bit. On solid waste disposal...
From New York and...
Would be nice to... have a way for residents who want to participate in such a program to, you know, to have bins where, you know, you can throw things, if you have some copper pipe that you've taken out of your house, or steel, just you know, metal, mainly metals and things that can be recycled. Just be nice to have receptacles someplace where those things can go. So
I bet if you put that at the curb, people would snatch that up because you can take that for scrap.
Well, call the junk man.
I guess the question is there, if enough people do it, is there any benefit to the village? Can, you know, will a scrapper put a bin out there and then pay us for the scrap?
You got to hope that people don't, because people do throw things into those, into, you know, like they'll take it, instead of taking something to Goodwill, they got one little bag of clothing or something, throw it in there. And then when's the point to when the scrapper, the, you know, won't come and pick anything up out of there because he has to sift through it, or, you know what I'm saying? Isn't that why they've taken, Goodwill's taken down a lot of receptacles around the city, because people are just throwing junk in it, mm-hmm. beside, you know, not just what it would be obviously a Goodwill thing. I need to see Alloway's, I don't know, that off the cuff, mm-hmm. I guess I should think about it, but off the cuff, my feeling about that doesn't feel good.
There's ways to dispose of it, I guess. That's the important part.
Right.
Do we allow scrappers to circulate in the village?
No, they people come to the community.
They do.
You know, because we'll have, frequently, well, someone will come in for paying for their recyclable, like a refrigerator you picked up.
And it's gone.
And it's gone before we even get there. So mm-hmm. I think there are people that go around and pick up that.
So there's no restriction on that. And,
I think
some communities do have.
I think there's an ordinance.
I think there's something too, yeah. But you know, I had a freezer out in front of my house, and the cover was off. They left the cover and took the freezer.
They come down that street.
Yeah, like
and sorted through all the stuff and took what they wanted and just moved on to the next, you know, on the recycling day.
I kind of like the idea, because at least the stuff is getting used properly.
Yeah. Yeah, they were neat about it. They didn't like scatter it around. They just mm-hmm. left what they didn't want.
I mean, it saves on landfills and stuff gets reused. And boy, I don't. That's a lot of work, I think, what they do.
Mm-hmm. You had a better experience than I did. I call a scrapper pulling stuff out of a pile I had in front of my house, and half the stuff was left in the street.
Oh.
I had to restack it. So.
Under shorelands, I just see the word Fox River Dredging Project. Is there any more on that? I don't remember seeing it. It just says the word. Recently updated Fox River Dredging Project. I don't know where to find it. Lots of pages back. I guess I don't remember seeing more information on that. Or maybe in the rivers it did talk about the dredging project. I just think it's something that's happened since the original one was put together, and we need to cover it.
Are you in chapter 7?
Yeah,
or
you're going to keep going. Maybe you'll pass those back pages.
Oh, okay.
Am I ahead again?
You have to go past the blank pages in chapter 7. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is what's coming.
We're supposed to be working on chapter 6.
You know, I don't think we're involved in that Fox River cleanup project, right?
No, I mean, they notify us, and keep us updated on it, and then the trucks do roll through on Riverside, but it really isn't our program where we're not funding it, or we don't really have a say in how they do it.
No, so, but the fact that the river is being cleaned up is important to our rivers.
Yeah.
So, because when I was reading about the rivers, I felt so sad for them, and I, you know, the idea that we are doing some more for them.
Well, I guess
was important.
The question is, what recreational opportunities are available to the village along the Fox River? And once the cleanup operation is finished, is there anything we can take advantage of?
Will that add any opportunity?
Right. So.
Is there a timetable for cleanup?
A long time, I think.
River dredging project.
I think it's a long time.
Is there a completion date? I mean, I know it's ongoing, but is there a date at which the water can be reclassified as safe to
drink?
safe to put your hand in, let your dogs swim in, or whatever. I don't know.
I'm sure there is.
I didn't know if we knew that.
You know, a time when the dredging will all be done, and I know they've lifted some restrictions already. Done in the past and
allowed some restrictions to be released, but I don't know exactly the time that I have to call them to find out exactly what.
Ongoing.
Yeah.
You know, it must be a long time because they built a whole facility to deal with it. They built a whole operation to wait for this stuff up. That's it.
Well, and then, you know, that National Heritage Parkway program has gotten some kind of authorization. And I know that they want to put a accessible paddle sport launch somewhere in Alloway. So.
That's mentioned in here.
It is.
Yeah. Yep.
Right
there. Chapter 7.
It's the second page of chapter 7.
Okay, never mind. It's there. Back in 6 under libraries, did we say that the De Pere Library has already been replaced?
I saw Crest Library in there somewhere.
Yes,
I did see
Crest
Library in there somewhere.
Well, it's just a sentence under
Crest Library
there.
In De Pere.
Okay. But on, let's see, page numbers would be really handy.
It doesn't really say anything about the Crest Library. It appears just has the words in there underlined. As a reminder that we need to add the Crest Library in here.
Thank you. Yeah, the comment I was making was just on the same pages where the emergency services update is needed at the bottom where it says libraries. So just strike the sentence about the DePere library expansion.
Right after that is where it says Crest Library, so it refers to it.
You were talking about the little, those little like birdhouse
library
things. Wouldn't somebody have to get permission or permit or something like that to put them someplace?
I don't know, but I don't think there's anything in our ordinance about it because I wanted to make sure we could do it before.
And if somebody put one out in the corner of their property, is that an acceptable thing to do? I'm not saying. Me, right. Because nobody comes back in our street, you know. They're not going to come to that little library. It's very out of the way.
I'll have to check with Dan. I mean, they're not huge, so no. It's not like...
Pretty small, yeah.
Right.
If it's in your property, you know. So I'll ask them.
Well, that's...
It's like putting a birdhouse up.
The thing is, right. It is hard to determine...
Well, you're going to be bringing people to your property.
Oh, yeah, but you don't get up. It's,
it's
very,
a kind of
very
a walking thing. It's not like you're going to have lines of cars.
Yeah.
No, but, you know, is there anything that is in there that would deter somebody from doing it?
It's no worse than having, an area with several mailboxes.
I think it's a cool idea.
It is a cool idea.
I'm just asking
if there's anything that would prevent us from doing it, and that would be my question too. Is there
an individual all by themselves could put one right at their front yard by their mailbox if they wanted to.
And in all likelihood, they would be putting it in the right of way.
See, there's something. You can't just pop one up someplace. You need to know.
Yeah, and like I don't have a sidewalk, and if I put one up, where would I put it? Do you put it where the mailbox is?
My mailbox is on my house. And that better not get changed. Everybody on our street still has them on their house. How would somebody come to know about doing that and what was okay to do?
I think if it's something that the village wants to pull out, then you probably would put something in the newsletter or something. So,
something on the website?
We allow these are the rules and regulations for installation or whatever. So I'll check with Dan. I mean, they're kind of all over.
They're popping up.
And as Minneapolis, you walk a lot in the neighborhoods and cities, and there's a lot of them.
You're right, they're not in the right way. They're back. They're in the private property.
But they're
cool. Mm-hmm.
There's a kids'
books
on the low,
and
adults have little houses.
Oh, how cute. They've designed all different ways.
Yeah.
Free little libraries. If you Google that, you'll get to a website. It shows you how to build them. It shows you different designs.
Free little libraries.
Are they on a pole, or do they sit on the ground? They're on a pole?
Usually they're chest high, maybe.
Yep.
This one was right on the building because it was a public building, and you're coming from the parking lot
Which
up the little
sense.
Steps. You know, it was on a little coffee shop house building down in Verona. And that, like I said, just this weekend. It's funny that you bring it up because it's the first
time. They must be getting more popular because, they're popping up.
Mm-hmm. Other people know. There, like I said, they just pull them in, and they have a picture in their newsletter, but it's inside the building. But okay. I'm going to go take a look at that, because that's, I know theirs is just recently new.
My daughter, she was aware of them, and she said you even see them around New York.
Yeah.
City.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and what a better place to have them, you know?
Right.
There's a lot of people, and they even have chickens in New York.
But not one of the pork. I know Bert had mentioned, I think it's towards the back, though. Yeah, seven historical buildings.
Right, under historic buildings, there's a house on Taft Street that's on the National Register that could be added.
Is it the end of end or?
I'm only, maybe three pages in from the end.
Okay.
Just said the last paragraph says that there's only one other listing on the state and National Register, that the reformatory, but there's also that house. And then on the next page, it needs to be updated. The Historic Preservation Committee has just completed working with a consultant and had the intensive survey adopted, so some changes could be made in that to reflect that.
Lombardi's house is ineligible for National Historic List.
It is. It's individually eligible. And that could be a whole historic district down there if the neighbors want to.
Where is it?
But is it mentioned in there, Vince Lombardi's house?
Oh, that's on Sunny.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the Packer Trail?
I said there are bus tours that go by there now, so it must be part of that.
I can't imagine. It wouldn't be. I'd be shocked. Of course, they didn't put that on there. I haven't done it yet.
There's Curly Ramble's house on Miramar.
Okay. I think you can bite the whole thing. Cool.
Don't we have a historic preservation ordinance and board?
Yes.
No.
Mm-hmm.
There's a building that Delir has lifted up out of the. It's up on.
In De Pere?
Yeah.
I saw that today.
I wonder what. Yeah. Are they moving it or?
I think they're doing something with the basement.
Putting a new foundation, putting a new basement under maybe?
Yeah, sure. Okay. I thought, I wonder if that's getting moved.
I know. I looked and I looked again.
Wow, they must love that house.
They have enough time and money.
Yeah.
Are we a CLG?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that probably should be stated here.
Thank you.
Tracy, on the very last page, third bullet from the bottom, the land is, that it's speaking about in there, it's not the same piece of land that they're putting the detention pond and parking lot in, is it?
They're talking about in two different places that they're talking about the land located north of 172, which would be by Lazar, I think,
okay,
area that they're talking about. The Riverside and the Fox River south of 172, I bet you it's a piece that we just built the pond on. But I know north of where the pond is, there still is some land that is available to development.
Okay. So we almost have to figure that out and see which. What that is, because part of that should be out of there, I think.
Yeah, and you guys, okay.
There's been that piece of property just south of what used to be AC Nielsen Building, Scott Building,
mm-hmm.
And a sign's been up on that piece of property probably 20 years, 30 years, and that whoever owns that absolutely does not answer that phone number.
Really?
It's a nice piece of development land.
Where is that?
It's the old driving range.
Is that
is it, that what it was?
Yes.
What was it?
What was the
old driving
across
range?
The street?
Town and Country?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're right.
You can't get a hold of.
They don't really want to sell it.
Well, then take the damn sign down.
Yeah.
Make them take it down.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, that it's got a pretty pricey number attached to it. So.
It does. That's too bad.
I know. It would be a nice location for something.
Yeah, it would be.
But
and right down to
the
trail.
Forever.
And, mm-hmm. I don't think the whole thing could get to the trail, but part of the south end of it could.
As I recall, there was some stuff that had to be taken out of there. Some property that was like a roof that was laying on the ground for a long time. That might have been before you were here.
They took the building down that was condemned, and they had left the roof that was on the other side of the street. I don't know if the roof is still there.
And they had code violations after code violations. Or
when it was the Town and Country Restaurant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It flooded, and it filled the basement, filled with water.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's been problems with that.
And that's the same person owns that vacant land across the street.
I think that's what I heard.
That's what I understand from years ago.
It's kind of fuzzy in my head, but kind of what I remember.
Everything's fuzzy in my head, Peggy, but that seems to stop.
Hey. Are there any other comments about these two chapters? Reviewed the entire comprehensive plan now along with these two chapters, correct? Basically, we've gotten through it. So we can vote to recommend the edited plan to the village board for presentation to the public.
Wouldn't you
talk about the process and the timeline for this? You folks will actually host the public hearing on this. And then we talked about initially, because there's a month of time that has to go from the time you advertise it and then you have your public hearing. And you guys talked about having a meeting of some kind of informational meeting that you would have during that month to come in, have people come in, look at the plan. Do some kind of presentation on it, answer questions, and then hold a public hearing, and then go goes to village board after that. So we could sit down and spell out that timeline, give you some potential dates and process, and then you guys can weigh in on that and say, yes, that would be good, or no, that wouldn't. And we'll have to look at when we can finish finalizing everything and make sure everything is the way it is. When we put it out to the public and we have that month of time, and the document has to be, you know, the way we want it, and it's pretty much its final state, you know, without changes from the public. But we'll have to see how close we are. I think we're pretty close, but we'll have to get all the pictures in and everything, so it's clearly done and it's kind of in a more final format. So we'll have to look at that and see how long we'll need to do that and get that ready to go.
Okay, so should we take action tonight to conclude our review of the text and
that would be fine.
Provide direction for preparing a final draft of the update? Okay, so I'll move as such that we conclude discussion on the text of the comprehensive plan update and direct staff to prepare a final draft for public review. And there's a second from Trustee Dart. All in favor?
Aye.
Actually, I should have asked if there was any discussion before that. Any more discussion? Okay. And all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Okay, that one passes. Item 10, discussion on PDD for 289 East St. Joseph.
I was telling Roger when we met to go over the agenda last week. This, I thought, came from our vice president. And at one point, maybe when we were over looking at the development, someone said, can you give us an update on it? So if I'm not correct on that, then the update's just before the update, but I thought that was what was suggested. Basically, as we discussed out there, that is a PDD for that property, and it's for a senior citizen independent living apartment complex. The project was approved in July of last year, so again, we're looking at a two-year expiration date. It expires in July of 2014, so next year again, it would be expiring. I recently received a call from the developer. About a TIF incentive because that piece of property is located within the TIF boundary. I sent him the information on the TIF and told him to give me a call if he had any questions. I have not received a call back or anything, any other further information from him.
Tracy, if this was approved before the TIF was in place and he had all the approval,
yes.
Does it really fall? Can it go under the TIF because the if, but rule?
I believe it could, but I'll double check with Ellers. If, but I think falls in once you start developing it. You start developing it and 90% along or 80% along, and then say, oh, now I want to apply for a TIF. It's like, well, you've already almost done. So I think if, but applies once development has started, and then they come back and say they have money, then you would. But at this point, I would say that it probably would qualify, depending on what the board's thoughts would be on it. But again, it's another tight time frame. It's very similar to what they had for across the street, because it was late last year, I think, that we sent the letter out to Mr. Mackle about that property. And, you know, we're getting to the point where a letter probably should be sent out. We were going to do it on this one right away, and then, like, oh, we've got a little more time. So again, it's a tight timeline, and I don't know if he'll be able to get everything organized and get it done prior to the expiring on that project. But again, we could ask for an extension, just like we did for the one across the street, and we'd look through that process if we chose to. see if there's any discussion. So that's just, I don't know if there are any specific questions on it, but that's kind of an update of where that one sits right now.
As I recall, the question was when it expired, because we really didn't know. I think that's what was the main point.
I guess the question is if it makes use of, wants to make use of TIF funds for some aspect, can we make any additional requests for public utilization on the site? So
really, if you want to TIF, what other additional requirements?
Well, I just, yeah, some, again, I think the big question in
like
my mind.
Sidewalk we want.
Yeah, the big question in my mind is that's like it's a super block, and there's limited pedestrian access through. So finding some way of improving connectivity through that collection of parcels is really, I think, an important thing to consider.
That could be a plus that he's asking.
Could that give us some
we have the
leverage.
Ability to, yeah.
Okay. Item 11, our next meeting date is September 23rd. Are there any specific agenda items that any of you would like to propose? And it is, being that it's September and we're getting into the last quarter, I would ask that people think about what we've done over the past year in preparation for an end-of-year review and annual report. Things that we would want to put on the calendar for next year. So, stuff to think about as we go forward. Adjournment?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
I second it.
And who seconded?
I did.
Judy seconded. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.